After all the research and writing done on the Second World War, you'd think there's little left to unearth about those years. But writer Renee Hollis is hunting for as yet untold personal stories of World War II. She's working on the project with the New Zealand Society of Genealogists. Renee, whose last book was Keepers of History, New Zealand Centenarians Tell Their Stories, is confident there are plenty of stories out there waiting to be discovered.
I'm looking at untold stories from World War II, so I think there are still some stories, and I think that there's boxes of letters and diaries in people's wardrobes and sheds, and to uncover what's in them would be interesting. Yes, I'm sure there's still some stories out there.
The shout-out came a little while ago, and there's some time left, but let's look at what's come in your way so far after you put out the call for these kinds of stories. What are some of the treasures that have come forth?
Wow, so I've had an amazing response from a lot of people, and people have sent in their own diaries and letters, and others have sent through their parents' letters. Oh, I've seen ration books, that was quite a novelty for me, and original diaries, lots of letters from overseas, and also heard stories of what life was like in New Zealand during that time, the social history, which is really interesting as well. So some families have typed up complete diaries and sent through the digital copies, which has been great. And others have actually sent through the originals. So it is a loan, and it is a little bit daunting having original documents sent to me, to be honest. And but I mean, I just promise that I'll take care of them and return them when I finish with them. So
I imagine, though, that seeing the originals will tell you a bigger story than perhaps a slightly foxy photocopy, in that, you know, you can see, I don't know, the stains or the tear marks or the smudges or something. There will be something in those original documents that will tell you even more of the story than the words, do you think?
I think so. I think the main sort of thing that which is I find fascinating is the fact that all of these memories are so fresh, and people are writing about events that happened yesterday or this morning, and they're not talking about memories that they have from 80 years ago. So, so some of them are sort of quite emotive. Some of them you conjure up thoughts or ideas, or you can really almost imagine yourself in some of these situations. So, yeah, it's really quite special.
Can you give me a couple of examples of some of those emotive stories, the ones that have been tugging at your heartstrings as you've read them?
Oh, well, some of them would be POW stories. So some of the situations that these men found themselves in hospitals, and one man was just about to get his leg sawn off with no medication at all by a drunk doctor, and I think he got the bedpan and whacked the doctor over the head and kind of somehow escaped from that situation. So, and you're right there with this man as he's sort of sharing his story, and then there's other talk of, you know, just how I'm used to these crazy, unusual situations people became. I mean, they just talk about, oh yeah, there's a bit of gunfire, or I didn't sleep much last night because, you know, there were bombs going off here and there, and the way that they just talk about it so casually, like it's just an everyday occurrence, to me is quite fascinating, whereas I just can't imagine what that would have been like. So
I know you're in search of stories not just from the POWs or soldiers, but also women's stories. Have they been harder to come across?
They have. I haven't read any stories of nurses that have been overseas. That would be really interesting to read. I've read a few stories about land girls. That was really interesting. But there'd still be, if there's anyone else out there that has stories that they'd like to share, that would be amazing. And, you know, the Wrens and the Wafs and all of these women, they did so much for the boys overseas, and it was such a sense of community and being together. And it's a really important part of what happened during that time. So
interests me that there have been fewer stories. I wonder if the women didn't record them, if the stories weren't kept. It would be interesting to know, because I'm sure so many of the women would have written letters and diaries.
some people say, oh, yes, there were hundreds of letters, but we threw them out. And I was like, oh, no, you know. Or they just didn't sort of bother with them because maybe they didn't realise the importance of them and how important they are now. And I've also had less stories from the Pacific as well.
There were a lot of people serving in the Pacific from New Zealand too, weren't there?
There were, yes. So I've had some stories, but it would be great to get a few more. And also nurses and women that were over there too, I haven't heard their stories. So
we might be able to help you with that. I hope we can, because they're incredibly important stories. I think the Home Guard also interests you, Renee.
It does. And I was thinking the other day, say for a place like Stewart Island, how did they protect their coastline with a small population? And what was life like for different people in the Home Guard in different areas of New Zealand? How involved were they and what exactly were they doing during the day? It would be interesting to know. Lots of questions out there.
When people are sending you through either copies or originals, do they talk to you about maybe how they came across them? I guess it's much more likely, of course, these are family members who perhaps have come across the diaries or the letters, maybe when clearing out a house of someone who's passed away. I mean, the stories behind how they came to get to you is interesting.
It is. It is. I think, like you said, most people, it has been kept in a shoebox or there's some sort of collection in the family and someone's been particularly interested in and kept them. There was also an interesting story that someone shared about, I think it was their uncle that was over in Egypt, and he died and another soldier took his diary from him, and it went with the soldier through his time in a POW camp and then all the way back to New Zealand, and then it was returned back to the family. So I thought, wow, it's really quite special when there's a little bit of a backstory too to the actual diary.
With all this material that you're gathering for the Social History Project, what's a story, Renee, that you're really wanting to tell? Because as I started off by saying, lots of stories, documentaries, movies, exhibitions, books, lots of books on the wartime. So what is your story going to tell us that we don't already know about those years?
I think the general theme is that war divides us, and war also unites us, but it also changes us. So I think they're sort of the overarching themes, really. And I suppose it's for the younger generation as well that just have no idea what life was like for some of these people. And, yeah, just the social side of how it affected so many people in New Zealand and in different situations as well. So maybe they had to leave school to replace the men that went overseas. That's been a sort of common occurrence. So men had to go and be soldiers overseas, so Dad needed extra help on the farm, and so they had to leave early to replace these people. There's lots of different effects from one person, as you know, going overseas.
Well, and that same when the men returned and the women who had taken on these roles, like the land girls and others, trying to reach some kind of equilibrium in a changed world. Are you interested in those stories too?
I am, yes. And, you know, also the effects of say, like the American soldiers coming to New Zealand and wooing all these women and, you know, the effects of that as well. That's also interesting. So, and then also recently I've been talking to people and they had no idea that there was, say, a prisoner of war camp in Featherston holding the Japanese that were taken from the Pacific. So that's another story that hasn't really been talked about a lot too. So, and I've heard of locals that were actually visiting some of the Japanese and learning Japanese during that time and befriended some of these men. And, there's just little things that come out of these stories.
Well, there are so many stories. So what are the parameters? We talked before about nurses and wrens and WAFs, for example, and POWs. Is this specifically people who in some way served the war effort? Or if we're looking at what life was like, is it everyday people?
I think my publisher basically just said to me, look, just put out a wide net. And as long as they were living in New Zealand or overseas and they were a New Zealander, then we're interested to hear their stories. So it really encompasses a lot of different stories. And I mean, I think the story of a young boy, you know, he was in charge of, say, the air raids practices at school, at primary school, and running around hitting a pot to notify all the children that they had to line up and put their sacks on and go and do these practice drills. I mean, I think that's quite fascinating as well. Yeah, so partly social history and partly what life was like for everybody here, but also for the men and women that were involved as well and doing their part. And so it encompasses a lot.
You mentioned before that kind of heartbreaking moment when you were told of someone's letters from the war years being thrown away. Do you get a sense that people these days are just a bit more savvy? And whereas 20, 30 years ago, heaven knows we didn't talk about the wars, that perhaps a lot was thrown away and lost, but that these days family members are more interested if they come across some papers or if their seniors in their family show them some papers or talk about something, that there's more respect and understanding of the importance of holding on to this kind of social history?
Yes, I think so. And I also think it also has to do with people's attitude towards the war. So, for example, my grandfather on my father's side, we found his medals in an envelope that had never been opened. And obviously he never wore them. He never sort of discussed his time in the war compared to my mother's side he wore his medals. And then later on people have also worn his medals for Anzac Day. And I mean, people had different experiences and some people didn't want to talk about their experiences and they just wanted to put that to rest and not discuss it and not obviously, you know, encourage other people to look through all of these archives and documents. So maybe it was also their attitude towards their experiences as well. So I noted when I did my book on centenarians that many of the family members told me that, you know, they said, oh, Dad's never spoken about the war until just recently, and now he's 104 and he's talking about it a little bit. So, yes, I mean, I think men and women, because some of it was so traumatic and so difficult, it wasn't a thing that they wanted really to discuss and to bring out.
I'm assuming that it's families that have been sending you information, Renee, but are you getting information directly from older survivors of World War II?
I am, yes. I actually had a lovely email from a man called Clive, and he was in the Pacific, and he said to me, well, I had hundreds and hundreds of letters, but they've all been thrown out. But he said, if you want to ask me anything, go ahead. So he sat there for hours answering all my questions, and I don't know, maybe he thought, you know, maybe it was cathartic for him. But I just found it quite fascinating. And I've also had the opportunity to interview some World War II vets as well and speak with them. It sort of all comes to life a little bit more now that I've read lots of diaries and journals too, so I can sort of understand their lingo a little bit better too.
Renee Hollis, if you'd like to contact her with story ideas, she's at voicesofww2nz@gmail.com. voicesofww2nz@gmail.com. We've got that link on the Standing Room Only webpage.